What's going on, DeSoto, Texas? Welcome to episode 104, season 7 of Talking Throws podcast, Texas style. I'm Coach Jason.
And I'm Coach Janelle. And as
we're throws coaches with the track club, the Thorn Factory. We are actually doing a new website, so hopefully that'll be up in the next couple of weeks. So just be on hold. If you try to search the website, it doesn't show up as of right now. But eventually the throwingfactory.com website will be up. So we're excited to get y'all, have y'all have to take a look at it. Remind everybody too that we're gearing up for our off-season training. So if you do have questions when the website is up, you can reach out to us and maybe set something up. And then also too, remind everybody about our YouTube channel, the Thorn Factory, Talking Throws. Just search Talking Throws on our YouTube channel and give us a thumbs up. And how many episodes do we have on there?
Excellent question. Not all 107.
Not all 107.
But all of season 4, 5, 6, and 7, I believe.
4, 5, 6, and 7. So you're going to have some good content.
Yeah.
So be sure to subscribe to that. Our season 7 sponsors, we thank them for what they do for us. Without them, we can't get this stuff out to y'all. So Texas Track and Field Coaches Association, right now, if you go to that website, ttfca.org, that website again is ttfca.org, you will find that the Winter Clinic for 2024 is out January 5th and 6th. There's a link. If you hit the Winter Clinic page, it'll take you to where it's going to be at, in the Waco Convention Center. There's discounts off the Hilton and Courtyard Marriott. It talks about the Hall of Fame that's going to be inducted that night at the Hall of Fame down in Waco. So that website again is ttfca.org. Fourthrows.com, implements priced right. Right now you can get Fiber Sports discus, ATE discus, anything that you need in the throwing realm is there. Also too, what's really cool is they have a brand new intro video. If you go to YouTube and search Four Throws, you're going to see a really cool intro done by fourthrows.com. So go check that out. And I'm sure they're going to be doing more stuff on YouTube as well. Ready Up Athletic Development. Zach Phillips is doing an awesome job down there. That website is readyupad.com. Follow Zach on Instagram and Facebook. If you're in the Austin area or anywhere and you need program, and you don't know how to put together a workout program, and you're just going in there kind of maybe trying to do bodybuilding exercises, but you need to be doing explosive, you know, exercises for your certain event, whether you're a long jumper, sprinter, thrower, or a volleyball, basketball player, Zach's the guy to put that program together for you. His phone number is 512-507-8347. Fiber Sports Discus. Keep fighting.
Got it.
Thank God we can get this out. Turn it around. There you go. Yeah. So, Fiber Sports Discus. Use that code TALKINGTHROWS10. At fourthrows.com to get that 10% off on that Fiber Sports Discus. Also, if you got a fibersportsdiscus.com and maybe you're out of state and you're looking for a local dealer, you'll be able to find it there. Also, Big Frogs Colleyville, they handle all our printing and embroidering. If you need somebody, they can ship it out, whatever you need. Great ideas, great brand, brainstorming, Big Frogs Colleyville. And then Lifting DFW, mobile lifting station. We are selling those trailers. If you're a small high school that doesn't have a weight room, this is a great substitute for that. You can pull it in your parking lot. If you're looking to start your own personal training business and you don't want to do it out of your home for whatever reason, maybe you live in an apartment, this trailer can accommodate you to get your feet off the ground and start your own business. That website is liftingdfw.com. Today's guest on episode 104 was just recently put in to the Baylor Legends for her time at Baylor Track and Field. In 2012, she made the Olympic trials, finishing in the top 20. And from 2010 to 2013, she threw for Baylor University. She had PRs in the indoor shot put of 17-42. In the discus, she had 55-49. In the shot put outdoor, she had 16-94, which all three are at the time were the school records. And she was a four-time All-American at Baylor University. For 2006 to 2009, she'd attended DeSoto High School here in South Dallas, where she had a lifetime PR in high school of 46-9 in the shot put and 163-11 in the discus. She was also a four-time state champion, and I think they were 5A at the time. Please welcome to the podcast, Skylar White.
Okay. I'm ready.
Yes. So our first question. Oh, wait.
Go ahead.
Oh, our first question is, and hey there, he kind of helps. What are you currently doing? Like, what's
going on in your life?
Your life right now?
Currently, I am a truck driver, and we have our own hot shot company. I don't know if y'all are familiar with hot shots.
Yes.
Educators.
So hot shot is just basically, oh, here's my husband.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
He was going to be our all-star.
Right. He came along with me also. We both just got in. But we do hot shot for ourselves. And we just pick up and deliver different types of material, like metals or... Shoot, we even do, I don't know if y'all see those containers that they turn into like office spaces at construction sites and stuff. Yeah. We carry those on our flatbeds, and it's just a lot of truck driving stuff. And we haul different types of things right now. And I was going to say also on the side, when I do have time, I haven't in a while, but I get a lot of people refer to me to train them still. Oh. And so I've been blessed to be able to still train the throwers up and coming. And I had a few since I've graduated, and I've always felt honored, but it was just, I worked with them for a few years, and I even had a new young man that was referred to me, but I haven't had a chance to set up a schedule with him just yet, but eventually I will, so I can help the throwers. Since I was a teacher, and my plan was I was going to do elementary, but I was like, I want to be out there with those throwers, you know, and I want to help them also. And I was like, ain't there a way I can do elementary, like teach the kids in elementary, ELAR, and, you know, coach after school. But they didn't work it out for me at Waco ISD. So I had an opportunity, and I attempted to, but I don't know if y'all are familiar with the signing for the teachers for the new year. They have us sign a contract before the year is up, to let them know if they have to do a teacher search through the summer. Right. And so I had already signed my contract with my elementary school, but I was offered a position at the University High School here in Waco to be a SPED teacher and coach. And I took the test, and it was a way out of my contract, but my principal, he didn't want to release me. I passed the SPED test the first time. You know, I was ready. Yeah. I was going to go up there and teach those throwers and hopefully bless them with enough knowledge to be able to throw as far as they possibly can to get a full scholarship like I did.
Yeah.
That's what I do ultimately. But I didn't get an opportunity to do it. But it's not too late.
No.
So are you currently teaching and doing the trucking business? Or
just- No, ma'am.
Okay, no, ma'am. I was like, that's a lot, because I'm a teacher, and I'm like, whoa, you do all of that together and teach elementary?
God bless you. I got out of it, one, because, it's just a lot of politics and the admin, and all of the things that they were asking of us and requiring of us, it just wasn't worth the stress. And I tried to hold on as much as I could, but I couldn't deal with it. Yeah. And I said, I didn't have to. And I can always go back if I wanted to. So
lots of jobs open. They will take a heartbeat. Shortage everywhere.
Yeah.
So you have your special ed, your SPED. That's a short teachers on my campus and in our district. So
Where are y'all at now?
We live in Mansfield.
Oh, and I'm from DeSoto. I don't know if y'all know.
Yes, we. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm familiar.
Are you living in Waco now?
Yes, we live in Belmead. I don't know if y'all are familiar. Yes,
I know where Belmead is.
Yeah, so we're here in Belmead, and we're in this small little community. I love it here.
Yeah.
And this is where we're at.
Is your husband an athlete? Did y'all meet at Waco in Baylor?
No, I actually met him when I was working as a teacher's aide at the juvenile.
Oh, okay.
He was of the JCOs, JSOs. He was the security guard in the classroom. So I didn't have to deal with anything because of him and his coworkers. So if a student acted up, they were out of there. They were pretty good for the most part. I didn't have any problem with the kids. So
worked
really well. They were actually working there was what actually inspired me to become an elementary teacher, because so many of those kids that came in, regardless of what they did, I never wanted to know what they did. But regardless of what they did, they were all behind like two or three grade levels. And I couldn't believe it. And it hurt my heart. And I would sit there and I would say, you know, can you read that for me on the screen? Because everything was online.
Yeah.
And they were like, I don't know what that says. And I was like, oh no. And they were like 13 years old, 14, 15. And I couldn't believe it. And I was like, I have to go back. I have to go into education and try to stop this early, though. I wanted to get it early. And so I said, let me become an elementary teacher. And I was an English language arts teacher. And we helped so many kids. And the funny thing is, I transitioned from the juvenile after I got my certification as a teacher's aide. I went to Waco ISD's alternative school. It was even better.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Can you hear that? Can you hear my?
No, I can't hear them.
I can hear them a little bit, but are they okay?
Hold on. One second.
All right.
Oh, yeah. You're fine.
You want me to bring him in here? He'll probably be quiet with us.
You've been gone all day, Mama.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we'll try to make this quick. So
that was not the plan. I am so sorry.
No. You're good. So, all right. So you just got put in as a Baylor legend for Baylor University is what you did in track and field. Yes, kind of tell us what that means to you and kind of how, you know, you found out about the induction and all that. And that day with Jeremy and Michael Johnson, that had to be just kind of just a icing on the cake for you.
You know, I was surprised when Coach Ford reached out to me, because I didn't even know exactly what he was reaching out to me for. He just asked, hey, will you be in Waco on this day and that day? And I was like, yeah, I'll come to the Michael Johnson track meet. Of course, I'm here, you know?
Yeah.
And so he was just trying to make sure that I was free. And then I told, I was asking him, you know, did I need to dress a certain way, or is it anything that I needed to do when I came? And he was like, no, we want to honor you. And I was like, huh? Me? You know, I'm thinking like, okay, I threw pretty decent. And I was just like, y'all want to honor me? And then I told all of my family members, because they're so supportive.
Yeah.
And I told my best friend, and she went digging even deeper. And she was just telling everybody. She was like, yeah, you better get inducted in the Hall of Fame and this and that. And I was like, what? No, I'm not. Because I didn't know the extent to what it was. And then she even found out before I did that I was getting honored with Michael Johnson and Jeremy Warner. And I was like, me? Me. Because, you know, I made it to the Olympic trials and everything, but I didn't make it as far as they did. But I just felt so blessed to even be in the same induction with those two gentlemen. And I love both of them. I never got to train or never got to see Michael Johnson train, you know, for obvious reasons. But I did get to train with Jeremy Warner. And, oh, well, I got to see him train because he was still active when I was at Baylor. So he would come and train with Coach Hart.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes Coach Harbor. But he was out there and he was always so kind and encouraging. I love both of them. And I just felt like it was almost like a dream. Like I couldn't believe it. Like me. Y'all want to honor me with these two men who've been to the Olympics, I don't know how many times, won and everything. But I said, well, all I can do is just receive it and just hopefully, like I was telling y'all earlier, eventually be able to continue to give back to other young throwers who want to throw. And I just want to let them know, like, running and jumping is not the only way that you could get a scholarship, you know, yeah, and get into school. You can go really far. I was even blessed to go on the USA team while I was at Baylor because I was the top two. I think those were the qualifications in an event. And I was top two in the nation when they were picking the athletes. Wow. Collegiate athletes, and I was blessed enough to represent the United States as a collegiate athlete in Mexico, and I got to meet so many other athletes from other colleges, and I'm still friends with them now to this day. And it's so much that you can do and so many people that you can meet just being an athlete. And I want us to know you can go far too, you know. It's not just the sprinters or, you know, the long distance runners and the jumpers. It's not, they're not the only ones who can make it. You can too. And so hopefully one day I'll get to go back and do that because I love working for myself, but I also love pouring into other kids and to the up and coming generation.
Yeah.
And I still hunger for that feeling like I had when I was a teacher and I was help somebody read better or, you know, do math better. It was just such a great feeling. It just brought so much confidence into those students to let them know like, oh, I can do this, you know, and that was fulfilling to me. So,
yeah.
Awesome.
That's great. Awesome. Great answer. Let's get into that. The talk about those Olympic trials, 2012, Eugene, you know,
yes,
big stage, a lot bigger than you coming off the NCAAs, you know, you made top 20, you know, what was that experience like for you to be throwing? I'll ask you this because a little trivia question. Do you remember who won it?
No, I don't remember right off the top.
Stephanie Brown won it.
Okay. I remember Stephanie Brown. Tall. Really tall.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I remember watching her in the Olympics and everything. And I remember that year. It was great just to be in that atmosphere with all of those great people. And I was just like, I'm one of them. You know?
Yes.
I made it. And
yes,
it wasn't the Olympics. It felt like the Olympics to me. And
yeah.
I was, oh my goodness, I was so nervous and excited. And I was just watching all of the other people warm up, you know, like, should I do that? Should I do that? they've been there before.
Right.
Yeah. And
I was just learning, and I'm just watching, trying to take everything in, and I was like, I am going to come back. And I was trying so hard to come back, but it just wasn't in the cards for me at the moment.
Yeah.
And still say to this day, it's not too late, because I don't remember. I don't think you said her name was Stephanie Brown.
Yes.
She wasn't a spring chicken then, I don't think.
No, but also too, in that meet was Susie Powell got third.
Yeah. Yes.
And Aretha Thurman was second. And it was some big names in there. Somebody else that was also on our podcast, Tracy Hoover was on there as well.
Really?
Yeah, Shelby Vaughn, the high school thrower from Mansfield, was there as well.
Shelby.
Yeah.
I talked to her at one point. I ran into so many people. And they looked up to me or was just encouraging. I ran into so many good people as a thrower. And it was just a beautiful experience. And I think were the Carters there that year? Michelle
won the shot put.
Yes. And I don't know how far or how much you know, but I actually grew up training with her father.
Oh, so you two, you were with the throwbacks? Did he train you?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. And I loved watching her throw, and her sister. I loved watching both of them throw, even still to this day. And I just looked up to them like they were my big sister. So it was being at the Olympics was also, it was nerve-wracking. But it was also exciting, and just seeing her and knowing her, it was comforting also. And it was, I just couldn't believe that I was finally throwing with her.
The Texas Track and Field Coaches Association. Coaches education through our annual winter clinic, the state's number one track and field clinic. Texas Track and Field Promotion. Our postseason meet of champions. Lobbying efforts with the state's governing bodies, the Texas Track and Field Hall of Fame. If it involves Texas Track and Field, we're at the forefront. Join our mission in continuing to make Texas Track and Field the nation's best.
Yeah.
So I was just in awe, and I was excited. I'll never forget. I think about it all the time. And my husband, he'll joke with me and stuff. Like, when we watch and stuff, he'll be like, "You miss it? Do you miss it?" And I'll be like, "Heck yeah."
Yeah.
But
if you're a college athlete and you compete at that high level, there is always a little bit that you do miss. I don't care how old you get.
Yep.
Yes. And just, I try to recreate some of the workouts that I used to do, but it's just not the same because... you don't have your coach there, you don't have your other teammates there, but it's just, you try to recreate that stuff. And, you know, me, after having two babies, I'm trying to get back, you know, get back to what I used to be.
Correct me if I'm wrong, that was 2012. You still had another year of eligibility at Baylor, right?
Yes, I did. I had another year of eligibility, so I finished out that year, and it wasn't a great year, but I don't remember. I'm horrible at remembering stats.
I got it all down. I got you stats.
But I did okay. It wasn't a bad senior year, and I continued to throw as a professional that next year, too.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And it was rougher than I thought. And I think if I would have continued to push, I know I would have made it further. But I just got discouraged in the beginning because I didn't know that it was so difficult, you know, to get into certain meets. And I didn't know the money that it took to travel and all of that. And it wasn't the same, like I said. And you don't have teammates. Really, as a professional in track, anyway, you might run into them at like a a Nike event if y'all sponsored by the same people, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It got a little bit discouraging, and I just said, you know, I'm gonna just go work. Yeah. I'm gonna go pour back into other people to hopefully make it further than what I did.
Yeah. One thing I do want to point out that for people that listen is you made the finals in the discus and threw 176.10 over almost 54 meters. But let me point the fact out. If you would have threw 54 meters in the trials,
yeah,
that would have made the finals.
Yeah. And I tied. I know at the where did I tie? I tied with third place. And I think her second best throw was better than my second best throw. Oh, so yeah. I don't remember what track meet it was, but I know it was an important one. And I was so distraught. I said, stop, to throw farther than this. But that's all, you know, in the past.
That's how I
was. All the lessons you learned from it, though.
Right. Like you said, right. All the
lessons you learned from athletics.
You know, so, during your 4-year career, Baylor, you know, you had some pretty high marks. You were 4-time All-American. You threw 189. You threw 57.2. A little bit about shot put. Were you a glider or rotational?
I was a glider. I could never get the concept down, even though I feel like I would have been better at it if I would have actually trained for it. But because I had been a glider for so long, I just stuck with it. Because I did attempt at practice. I did.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for me. I don't know. I was so used to spinning in discus. I just couldn't feel
the difference where the
weight was. But that spin in the discus, I loved it. I get the chills talking about it now. Cause discus was my baby.
Really?
I love the discus, and I'll catch myself till this day, no lie, I'll do a drill or two in the house just to see if I still can, and place my feet in the right place at the right time. So I still do it. I still have my shoes. I still have some implements that I had collected over the years or was given to me. And so I used to go out and just throw, but I don't anymore. But I have a niece who hopefully she'll get back into sports. But she is in Frisco, and she was attempting to do track this past year, and I didn't get a chance to work with her. But hopefully if I can talk to her this year, hopefully she'll get into it, because I think she'll be great, a great thrower. And she was considering doing it, and her mom was reaching out to us, and she was just asking, hey, can you train her? And I was like, yeah.
Of course I can.
Oh.
One thing I want some clarification on is you said you love the discus over the shot put, and I'm not trying to, but your height, you're not that tall.
No.
Okay, so the lever, and I can understand with your height being 5'7", how you would fit in the glide, especially coming from Michael Carter's training and falling and mentoring Michelle, but you favored more Didi Carter in the discus. Yes.
We also had her on the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I feel so listen to it.
Yeah. I am.
But, so as far as the discus, I think because my arms were so long, it made it easier for me to just get that concept down of the whip that you need to get the discus out. And I guess, you know, the longer the lever, if you put something behind it, it's going to shoot stuff out. And just the whole concept, when I learned that I had to get the discus flat and release it at like the perfect angle, That was my entire goal, and I tried to chase it. And once I did it a few times in high school to get the distance that I got in high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a lot of those good throws at practice, and, you know, yeah. you believe it. And I was just like, once I felt how it felt so effortless when I finally got the discus off of my index finger, and it was just flying. And I was amazed when I saw it. And I was like, I got to do it again. And so that is what excited me about the discus. And I just had some bad knees as I got older. And trying to get so low in that shot put, it was time. It was time. In my professional career, I just did discus. I was like, I'm only focused on discus because that's my thing.
Yeah.
So it took a lot to stay low. The older I got, and you know, the more weight I started to lift. It just put a lot on my knees, and I was just like, I'll just focus on discus.
Okay. Well, one thing I want to point out too is in 2012, you got fourth place in the NCAAs, and you threw your lifetime PR 57.2.
Yeah.
Which, for someone who didn't like the shot put, that's a pretty damn good throw to get fourth place.
I think that's what it was. That's the time when I had tied with third place.
Oh.
I don't know. Do they still show all of the throws for that?
Yeah, you can. Let me see.
It might not be, but I do know.
Was it indoor?
I threw pretty far. And I was chasing after that 60 feet so hard. I was trying to get it. I think I was trying too hard, and that's probably why I ain't never get it. But I'll record myself one day, and if I do get it, I'm gonna send it to you guys.
We'll take it.
Yeah, you. The girl at third place threw the 17.67, and then her second best throw was better than yours. But Tia yeah. Brooks from Oklahoma got first through 19 yeah. meters. And then Geneva Stevens from Southern Illinois got second.
Okay. That's what it was. I remember. Yeah. And Tia Brooks, I think, I'm still friends with her to this day.
That's awesome.
And I don't know what she's doing now, but I know she's living her best life because we follow each other on social media. And I just love seeing her with her family. And I think she even went to the Beyonce concert, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go.
Living your best
but
life.
There you go.
She was my buddy throughout the entire time while we threw. We always enjoyed seeing each other. And we would just, you know, be pumping each other up like, come on, you know, get it out there. And she was always, you know, she was always better in shot put than me. And she was always like, you know, talking to me and snapping at me, like telling me, you need to get it out there. You need to get it. Come on. You can do it. I love her. That's and awesome. Like, was in her zone. She was in it. I so loved
who
it.
Your throws coach at, who was your throws coach at Baylor? Because I think you had two of them, right?
No, it was just Coach Brabham. Danny Brabham.
Okay.
So if you're familiar with him, but he was there ever since I was there, and he's gone, and he left, I think maybe a year after I left.
Okay.
But, man.
Did he work with you professionally when you were trying to do that professional? Did he work with you a little bit then?
He did. He allowed me to come and train with them when they would go out and work out.
Yep.
And I know, you know, Sion, because she's the one that linked us with you.
Yeah.
You. And she was still training. And another thrower was still training, and he would let me come out there, and he was still coaching me.
Oh wow! And
he would call me and stuff after my track meets and check on me and see how I did, and he would even ask if I got somebody to record me, you know, while I was out there, because he would want to see it.
Yeah,
he was involved, and when I got to see him again at the track meet, it was just like a family reunion. I miss him till this day. And I get upset when I think about it, because I'm like, he's here. Like, he's not too far from here. And yeah. I say, we should see each other more. So I'm going to do better at reaching out to him also, because he was like a dad. He was like a dad, and he trained each and every one of us how we needed to be trained. Nobody got the same training. It was everything that we needed. He accommodated. Really? Yeah. And I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And we all needed everything that he gave us. And so I enjoyed working with him. And if I could go back again, he would be my throws coach.
Wow.
Sure.
Is there stuff that you use to this day, like maybe with your own kids or in your hotshot business of life lessons that he taught you, you know, back at Baylor?
Yeah, he was like, you know, no nonsense, but he had fun.
Yeah.
And said, go have fun. You know, whatever you do, have fun. And that's what my mom said, too. And it was just, it was amazing to me that both of them were saying the same thing to me, because that just let me know there is a God, and he wanted me to know that. And he wanted me to know, you know, whatever you do, have fun. Don't stress about it. You know, you came here, focus, but have fun. Wow. And when I guess he knew that I was hard on myself. And so he would always try to joke with me and stuff. So if ever I see anybody now, like, stressing out about anything, I always try to joke with them, you know, to lift their spirits up, because it helped me to be a better person.
Yeah.
And not think so much into this sport that was really created to me for fun, to enjoy. You know, you can train, you can compete and meet new people and just try to be a better thrower, but not only be a better thrower, but be a better person also.
Awesome.
So he taught me to make sure that whatever I do, train and have fun.
Awesome.
And take it serious when you're practicing, you know, just focus. But don't stress.
Right. Make it enjoyable.
And so that is one thing that I know for sure he taught me. Awesome. And I was a little silly, so he didn't have to tell me, hey.
He didn't have to tell you too much, Stefan. You knew how to do that.
Right. You got to focus.
Yeah. So looking at your career at Baylor, and I know he may have some more stats questions. What would be your best memory? Of why you were,
out of the 4 years, was it a me?
4 years, yeah.
Hanging with a roommate.
What's something that, as you've been removed from it for a while, you're like, oh, I remember that, about being a college athlete at Baylor?
Don't say anything about going to Georgia's or anything.
Right. No, not going to Georgia's. Just hanging out with my teammates. And what I remember the most is when we were working out. And we would have a tough workout. I just remember feeling so much encouragement and love and support during the workout from my coaches and from my teammates. Like, even the sprinters and the jumpers, like, they would see us doing our workout and they would holler out, you know, something like, keep going, Skylar, or, you know, something like that. And it just, I'm getting the chills just thinking about it. But it was just, I'm crying. But it was just a community. And I miss them. And I try to reach out to them all the time. But I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
Be sorry. This is
it. I am a crybaby. But those are the memories that I hold on to, because it was such a strong community. And I was always thanking God for blessing me to get a full scholarship at Baylor, because everybody that was there, from the hurdlers, Christina and Tiffany. It was just everybody. The hurdlers, the jumpers. I miss them. It was so, but traveling with them, oh my goodness, and trying to hurry up and get to the bus on time. Like, hey, you know, calling people, tell them, can you save me a seat on the bus? I'm coming. You know, stuff like that. It was just fun hanging with them and supporting them and them supporting me. I tried to encourage so many people to go to college because it's not even just about, you know, hey, you need to go and get a degree.
Yeah.
Meet some really great people. And I'm crying because I miss them, but I could just call them, you know. But
now maybe this will spur you on to go out and reach out. Right. Sometimes our life gets busy. We get busy.
I definitely am. And, you know, you have kids and all this other stuff. So it's a lot. But it was just hanging with them and just being in that environment. It was such a positive environment. And just being at Baylor for sure. And now I can't speak for other colleges, but at Baylor, when I was there, I know God put everybody there for a reason. And that is what I remember and miss the most. Just the support and the community that we had. It was amazing.
Yeah. Do you think that mentality and approach and how you feel was trickled down from Coach Hart at the time? Because Baylor was big in track and field on a national level. Right. Maybe even, I hate to say this, but maybe even more then than they are now. You know, and especially to being a thrower at that time, you know, Coach Hart was kind of, I don't want to say commander in chief, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
He still is. From what I hear, because I'm like, ain't he supposed to be retired? But he's still. He's still out there just blowing that whistle, saying, run him. That's all he was saying. Run him. Run him.
Yeah.
I love him, but he definitely set the tone for Baylor track and field and the community that we had. And I never felt left out. And I would talk to a lot of the throwers and stuff from other teams. And I would be like, I don't have that problem where I'm at. I get all the support and love and whatever I needed, whether it's merchandise or support, anything. I got it. And that is another reason why I feel blessed to be at Baylor, because I know they were really known for, you know, the 400, the runners, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess, like I said, it was God's timing, but we actually I was able to put throwing on the map from Baylor.
Yeah, you did.
To help, because I know Brittany did a lot too before Brittany Devereaux.
Yeah.
That's her name. How you say her name? You're right. And she was an awesome thrower. And whenever she would come back, she was so sweet. And I was like, man, I wish I could have trained with her. But it was definitely Coach Hart. He set the tone for the community. Yeah. And like I was saying, like, I never felt left out. And he, Coach Hart, Coach Harbor, Coach Stacy, Coach Ford, all of them would take time and come and encourage me for sure. Awesome. And other throwers. But it was just amazing at how the sense of community that they had at Baylor.
Wow.
And it brought me to tears.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah. So if we can move,
you know, reflected on that before.
Keep kind of moving down the timeline. Your senior year in high school, like, All right, we're going to, how did you choose Baylor? And then we're going to go backwards. So walk us through the recruitment, you know, the transition from high school into college. You know, you were coming out a very successful high school career. How did going to Baylor come about, maybe going to Texas or some other place?
You know, I said in my head, I wanted to go where throwers weren't the main event at the time.
Okay.
I knew, you know, Oklahoma already had, you know, throwers on lock.
Yes.
And I think Texas already had a thrower that was up and coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember who it was at Texas Tech. But I almost, this is a story that I don't think I ever told anybody.
All right, we're ready.
I went for a visit to Texas Tech. And this was after I had verbally committed to Baylor.
Oh.
You know, and I was just like, I'll just go and visit, you know, since they keep calling me.
Yeah. You know?
And I was like, it's just a verbal commitment. And I even said, I was like, I'm going to Baylor. So I already know. But I was just like, I'll go and give them a chance, you know, just because.
Yeah.
I went and I had a good time. You know, they show you, you know, so much stuff and bring you so much stuff and tell you so much stuff. And I was just like, I think I probably need to go here. And I was just like, I said, I was talking to my mom and we were leaving. And she was like, just call him. And I really felt bad because Coach Brabham had actually just came to my house. Like, oh, I don't remember exactly how far apart it was from the visit and when he came to visit my house. But he came. We enjoyed everything he was talking about. And I even went on a visit there already. I had went to a visit to Baylor. And I said, yeah, I'm coming. And it was just down the road. And I am family, really family oriented. And my aunt and my mom, they were both just like, yeah, go to Baylor because it's right down the road. It's a little bit far, but not too far to where we can't get to, you know, quick. And so I said, okay, yeah. So I verbally committed to Baylor and I enjoyed everybody here. As you can see now, I'm grateful on there anyway. But so I went to visit Baylor, verbally committed, and then I went to visit Texas Tech afterwards. And I ended up decommitting to Baylor and verbally committing to Texas Tech. But I don't know what told me. Something told me, no, you need to call Baylor back and see if they'll still have you because something wasn't right. And unfortunately, some things were said about other schools. And I was like, you know what? Coach Brabham, he didn't say anything negative about any other school. He just told me what he had to offer and what he was going to do for me. And if I came there, that's what it was. Wow. And I'm going to call. So I had to decommit to Texas Tech. And it was so stressful. I remember crying to my best friend because I was just like, I don't know what to do and this and that. I remember before I called and, you know, decommitted to Texas Tech to try to commit back to Baylor, I was so stressed out. And I was like, I didn't know it was so stressful to, you know, go to college and decide. But I prayed about it and my family prayed with me. And once I finally said, you know what? No, I'm going to Baylor. I think it was the best decision that I ever made. Besides, you know, coming to Jesus.
There you go. That one always ranks first.
I say that all the time. And I'm just so grateful that I did.
Yeah.
And so,
So did you get? So did you take your other three visits? You went to Tech and to Baylor. Did you get recruited by the other three?
I did. I took one other visit. I visited TCU because I knew I wasn't going anywhere else. I even think it was a blue school that came to visit me at my house. I can't even remember. Memphis or Memphis? Somewhere.
Yeah.
But I didn't go up there. She came and it sounded great. You know, they all talk up the school and what they can offer and this and that. But I said, I'm not going way up there.
Yeah. I'm curious and just, you know, you're being recruited when throws coaches are coming to your house to recruit you, you're something special because that doesn't happen a lot. I'm kind of curious. Did anybody say anything or kind of, you know, mentioned your height or was concerned about your height or anything like that? Because that's that different stereotype of, oh, you have to be 5'10", 5'6", right, foot, be a D1 power 5 thrower.
Right. No, nobody ever. Okay. I think it's because they saw what they call the whip and because I think it's because I'm probably supposed to be a little taller than this because my arms are just unusually long.
Oh,
okay,
really long. I think I measured it at one point, and I'm not too far off from Brittany Griner's wingspan.
Wow.
You do look like you have long arms.
I do. And I'm a little sweaty. But, you know, I don't know if y'all can see.
Yeah.
Oh, golly.
It's
okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Really long. And so I think that they saw, you know, she might not be tall, but her arms are really long. And somebody finally pointed that out to me, and I was watching myself, and I was like, oh, wow, I do have, it is like a really good pop, you know, at least in discus and in shot put.
Yeah.
But I was just amazed at what other people saw. And when I thought, I said, oh, I could probably do something with that.
Yeah.
But I never felt less than because of my height. And it's so funny that you mentioned that because whenever I would go to, you know, the track meets and stuff, I was always looking up. And now that I think about it, it didn't really intimidate me, I guess, because awesome. I knew I could hang with them.
Awesome.
And so, but it's so funny. It's so funny that you said that because looking back, even looking at some of the pictures, even when I was on the podiums and stuff, I would probably be in second place and the third place would be taller than me. And I am short. Anyway.
That's awesome.
But you were on the second place medal.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. So thankfully, I was hanging with the big dogs, as you say.
Yeah. So what does it mean to you to be DeSoto Eagle coming from that school, four-time state champion?
I have so much pride when I think about DeSoto Eagles, especially my track team. It was, you know, my head coach that was at DeSoto, he actually trained and went to Baylor. So when I went to Baylor, the workouts were way more intense, but I was familiar with everything that they had us throwers do. And come to find out, other college athletes that I would talk to at the track meets and stuff, they didn't do the same thing that we did. They did strength and conditioning, but it was like at DeSoto, they had us running.
Really?
Okay. At Baylor, they had us running. Yes, the throwers. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
So it was, I said, and, you know, DeSoto was green and gold. And I was like, it's just destined, you know, Baylor, green and gold. Only difference is an animal, you know, and it's right down the road. And my old head coach used to go to Baylor, and he just set up everything like how Baylor was, now that I think about it. And I love Coach Jones. That was his name.
Okay.
Jones and Coach Villers, and they're gone to other schools and stuff. I think Coach Jones might be retired. But I love them, and I love my teammates there. I talked to a lot of my high school teammates today, too.
Awesome.
And it was just, it's just such a community. And at DeSoto, because we, it was six of us, I think it was six of us and an alternate. When we won state with just six of us and an alternate, my chest couldn't have been any stuck out further.
That's awesome.
Was that your senior year?
No, it was my junior year.
Junior year, okay.
Senior year, I don't know if y'all remember the swine flu. They ended up moving state on DeSoto's graduation. And because I had went to state my freshman year and sophomore year and won junior. Matter of fact, I think I won. Did I win twice? I had to look.
You did.
I did. It was sophomore year.
You won both.
Okay.
Thought and disc your sophomore year. Junior year, you just won discus.
Okay. That's what it was. And thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Lord. Our own
mama
stats.
Brain, mama brain. It's okay.
Yes, yes, that is a real thing.
It is a real thing.
But it was just amazing that we did that together, and we tried to do it again junior year. But senior year, I made it, and I think I only made it in one of them.
Yeah,
yeah, and discus, I think. And I said, you know what? Been there, done that. I'm on to better things. I had already committed to Baylor and finalized it by then.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm not going to go. I'm going to pass. I'm going to state. And I enjoyed graduation because it was like, you know, you only graduate once. And on top of that, a lot of my other teammates, they said that they were going to stay too. So we ended up all just going to graduation, if I'm not mistaken. I think one of them might have been. Bad memory. Mommy brain. Either way, I didn't go senior year because of the swine flu. Because, you know, normally state is at the beginning of May.
Yeah.
But during that time in 2009, swine flu broke out. So they stopped traveling. And they moved state to June the 6th. I remember. And that was the same day that our graduation was on, DeSoto.
Wow.
And I'm going to go to graduation.
Really, you could have won five or six state championships.
Right. I could have, because I think a lot of people didn't go that year. And if I would have won, I'm pretty sure I would have won, because that many people there.
Well, yeah. Well, my question to you, you threw very far early at age. Did you feel like there was pressure once you were like winning those state championships your sophomore year, throwing 150 feet at 15, 16 years old and throwing 46, 47 feet, you know, as a sophomore? Those are big time numbers and, you know, right, kind of put you, you know, ranked very highly among your age, you know, in the country.
Yeah. You know, then I think I was just so positively influenced by everybody around me. I didn't even think about those type of stressors. The thing that got to me the most was beating myself. That's what I focus on the most. And I thank God for Coach Carter. That's Michelle's Carter's dad. And all of my coaches from DeSoto, Coach Bill, Coach Villers helped out a little bit. And it was just so many people who didn't, they never, you know, brought up, you know, such and such is throwing this out here. You need to be here. Or such and such is doing this. You need to try to do this. It was always, you know, they always focused on me and what I could do for myself to get better. So, if anything, I was always, yeah, I was trying to win, but I was always just trying to beat myself.
Yeah.
And PR, like that was my main goal. PR, PR, PR. I tried not to pay attention to everybody else because everybody else wasn't doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
And exactly what they were doing. And I just chose not to think too deep about that. And all of the people around me, they didn't put that pressure. They never put that pressure on me to, you need to try to beat such and such. Now, I have heard horror stories from my best friend about people, you know, being discouraged when we were in high school. Because my best friend, she threw also too, but she just wasn't into it. She was more of a softball person.
Yeah.
But she would tell me, like, later on, and I never knew this, that people would be, they would ask her, is Skylar here? Like, when we showed up to the track meet.
Yeah.
Hey, is Skylar here? And she'll be like, yep. And they'll be like, dang. And I was like, really? People used to think that of me? And they'll be like, girl, do you know who you are? Do you know how far you throw? And da 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 da. And I'll be like, not really, because I'm trying to beat myself. So,
yeah.
Matter.
Yeah.
But other people, apparently, from stories from other people, they were, I guess, stressing about me.
Yeah.
But I never knew it because I was, you know, I'm so friendly. And the people that I was throwing against, you know, how I was telling you, me and Tia used to encourage each other. That's what I was always doing. I was coaching and throwing. Because I wanted people to be, you know, them, their best selves too. Because I know how good it felt to beat my PR. So I always wanted other people to beat their PR also. And it was, I don't know, it just happened to be that I would win. And I was like, oh, thank you, God, but I got to throw farther. You know, I was like, I got to throw farther.
Yeah.
And I was always in competition with myself as well as, you know, I enjoyed winning. But if I didn't beat myself, no matter if I won or not, I was thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah. Well, that's that high level thrower. Once you reach that mark and that threshold of that mentality is, okay, I got to push it even further. I feel like I can do better. And that's that mentality that I'm sure you got from the Carters, that kind of at an early age that instilled in you.
Yeah, because they walked around with so much confidence and it just like oozed out of them. And I tried or attempted to be like that as well and not focus on even my last throw. Not focus on other throwers, just focus on correcting myself to do better, do better. And they were so encouraging. And it was just like, you know, we're competing against each other, right? You know, that's what I would think. But they have a great impact on how I thought about competition as well. Because it was like, you don't have to stress about somebody else. Or even be mean or rude to other people to win, you know? So I learned that a lot from them too. And anytime I saw them compete, whenever I was able to watch them compete, they were also, you know, sportsmanlike ship. They had that positive sportsmanlike ship. And I wanted to portray that also wherever I went.
How old were you when you started working with Coach Carter?
I was it was the summer of going to the seventh grade. So basically I was in the sixth. Really?
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't hit seventh grade just yet. But I remember it was the summer of going to the seventh grade. And that was the first time I had participated in sports, and I remember my brother ran track for DeSoto. He was he graduated 2005, but we went to the Texas Relays to watch him. Uh-huh. And I don't know why, but I thank God that she did. She took me to the back at Texas Relays where they have the other rings behind. She took me back there, and Michelle was actually throwing discus then. And it was the colleges throwing.
Yeah.
And she was throwing, and she knew. I'm pretty sure she knew, you know, about the throwbacks and all of that. But I didn't. I didn't have a clue because I didn't even know what throwing was.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She took me back there, and she asked me, she was like, would you want to do that? And I was looking. I watched. I was like, yeah, that looks fun. And so she actually introduced me to Coach Carter, Michael Carter, because he was there watching his daughter.
Yeah.
And it was uphill from there. And after that, she signed me up with them. And I had thrown with them all the way, like every summer up until the summer that I graduated. And I was done. So I threw summer track every year. And what a community that was.
Yeah.
And a lot of us were blessed to throw in college from the Texas Throwbacks.
Yeah.
Came up with them. And that's what I aspire to be. I want to help generation after generation go to college. Wow. And that's what it was. I saw Michelle throwing the discus. Go figure, the discus. And she don't throw the discus at all now. But I saw her throwing the discus and was inspired. And I said, yes, I can do that. And I did it. And I did it every year after that. And that's what got me started.
Wow.
And I didn't know, you know. And surprisingly, my mom was an outstanding athlete, and she also went to Texas Tech. She played in the saxophone, and she did shot put and discus. But I never knew that, and I believe my mom and my aunt said that they never told me because they didn't want me to, you know, try to live up to her. Because from what they told me, and she went to Hobbs, New Mexico. My mom did. And she threw shot put and discus, and I believe she still holds her high school shot put and discus record till this day.
Wow. I
have to look it up.
Yeah.
But I know she holds one of them.
And you never knew that. When did they tell you that? Like after you became a thrower or after college? Yes. Or what?
When I was in college. Yeah, I didn't know until, you know, after my young throwing career. I guess they didn't want me to have that pressure, but I never knew. And my mom actually had some trophies and ribbons and stuff hidden in our house, and I never saw them. But she didn't want me to feel pressure to do it just because she did it, and my aunt said the same thing. They was like, we want you to do it because you want to do it, and it was surprising to me how great she was back then too.
Oh wow.
I'm like, y'all could have told me, you know. I would have still did what I had to do.
See, I think your mama told your aunt to take you to the discus ring to watch Michelle. It was premeditated. And you thought y'all were getting like cotton candy or something.
Right. We were going back because my brother, he was not a thrower, and there is no jumps back there.
Yeah,
so I know the reason to go back there.
I'm gonna go back and prep Bevo.
Right, you know, ask her. I'm gonna ask her now to this day. I'm gonna ask her, why did you take me?
Is that their plan all along?
Right.
For sure.
That's a good observation. I ain't ever think about that. Yeah.
Do you think you're going to teach your kids to throw?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But My thing is, I want them to see. I want them to see it. So I try to take them to basketball games, even now, football games, hockey. We haven't been to a golf tournament just yet.
That's not real entertaining at their age.
Right. I just want them to see, you know, the sports world. But I don't want them to feel pressured to do it. And I plan to ask them before we do it. I'm saying, you see them doing that? You want to do that?
Try that.
Yeah. If they say, yeah, sure. But if not, hey, no pressure.
Lots of other opportunities in sports. There's a lot of them out there.
I'm sure you drive up and down 35 next to Baylor. It has to warm your heart to see McLean Stadium right there on the river. But behind that track and field complex on the river right across from the campus, that is beautiful.
I say we joke about it a lot, like my old teammates and stuff. We say, now, why didn't they have this while we were here?
Mm-hmm.
So we be like, y'all got it good. Y'all don't have to drive off campus and this and that, you know. But it's beautiful. I can only imagine the memories that they're making there. And wow. I'm just – and the McLean Stadium, oh, my goodness. And, you know, it's funny that you said drive up and down 35 because – I also drive up and down Clay Street, which is where the old football stadium was and track was. And I just can't believe that it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurts my heart because, you know, that's where my memories were.
Yeah.
It is warming to see the updates that they put on. And it's just like, I'm so glad that they finally changed that because, you know, I don't want the other athletes to have to go through what we went through to get to practice.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. It is a beautiful stadium. And I need to go out there and work out sometime and take my kids.
Yeah, for sure.
Put my feet on that track.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, Skylar, thank you so much for being on. One thing we want you to know, I'm thinking you still hold the three. I don't know how accurate it is, but I just want to make you aware you're still the shot put indoor record holder. I think the discus somebody broke.
Oh, there you are.
There you go.
I know. So dark. Right.
And I think you're still the record holder for the shot put as well. For the
school. Oh yeah, at Baylor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also. The discus, I still have my discus record in high school.
Oh, you still have the discus record in high school? Okay.
I could not. It was so hard for me to get 47 feet in high school. But the record at my high school for the shot put was like 46 something, or it might have been 47 something. And I just couldn't get it. I tried so hard. But I still have the record in discus.
Good.
Still have the record.
So. There he is. 10 years later. So
I'll take it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you surely are a Baylor legend. I want you to know that. But also, too, you're a legend with your heart as well. You've got a kind heart that comes across the screen very well through the computer.
Y'all are awesome.
Well, thank you so much. Well, you're awesome as well. God bless you. Sycamores.
Have a good evening.
Thank you so much. Y'all thank have a you. Blessed evening. Okay.
Bye-bye. We'd like to thank Skylar for being on. Just what a good soul she is. You could just tell that she had a great passion for life, being a mom, passionate about her current career. And I think that foundation from that passion was started at DeSoto and carried through at Baylor University. And to know her place as a thrower at Baylor University during that time when Clyde Hart was a big name in the 400 meters and to be now a Baylor legend going in at the same time with Jeremy Warner and Michael Johnson is just, it goes to show you what kind of career she had at Baylor University and what kind of thrower she was to be a four-time All-American in basically two different events and be able to be talented in both is at a high level, just to go show you what kind of talent she was, and to have great coaching, you know, through a young age, like with the Carters and what they instilled in her, it just carried her forward.
Yeah, and you know, she got emotional there at one point, but that goes to show you what you learn from sports, the families, that people who aren't involved, if you're not, whether it's sports, band, you know, something that you find to plug in at your high school or college, you make friends for life when you do those things.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she's a busy mom right now, so doesn't have time to sit and think about what all of those relationships meant. So I know that being able to do that right now was really a big deal for her. So that's awesome. Got anything else?
Nothing at all.
So, all right, we want to thank our sponsors for Season 7, TTFCA, Texas Track and Field Coach Association. Go look at their website. All the things for Texas Track are on there.
Winter Clinic.
Winter Clinic in January.
Schedules coming out for 2024.
Schedules, all that stuff. So start looking at that. Fourthrows.com, quality implements priced right. Use the code TALKINGTHROWS10 to get 10% off. If you're in the Austin area, ready up athletic development. Reach out to Zach Phillips. Follow him at Ready Up. What's his? I think I know this. Ready Up on Instagram or on Facebook. If you're looking for some training, and he has the basic throw strength program on the Train Heroic
website.
So if you're looking for something to do, kind of, we're in the track off season right now and need to really train for that. So if track is your main sport and you're a thrower, man, you need to give Zach a call, because you right now is the time when champions that are going to show up on the medal stand in May is when they're being built. So reach out to Zach Phillips. Look up that. It's on Train Heroic, and it's called Basic Throw Strength, and use the code THROWS10 to get 20% off.
Hello, Talking Throws Texas podcasters. I'm Bruce Caldwell. I'm here today to introduce the Fiber Sport Discus. Yes, many of you thought I only made great vaulting poles. I have been bringing quality discuses to the thrower's hands for over 40 years. First as Cantabrian USA representative, then for the past 10 years as the Nelco discus distributor. I introduced the yellow plated discus for the plastic's best durability. If your fiber sport discus breaks, we replace it. Our studies have reached into the science of using a wind tunnel and adding microchips to the discus to find the spin, the gravity, the flight stability of the discus. We have found it's not about rim weight anymore. It's more about creating a balanced stability to allow the discus to fly and surf the wind. Our new Fiber Sport discus is made to be selected to fit your needs, no matter the weather, no matter the conditions. Check out our discus selection guide at FiberSportDiscus.com and find a dealer in your area that sells our fine product. Thank you, Jason Janelle, for allowing me to talk with your listeners on Talk and Throws Texas Style.
And then Big Frogs of Colleyville for all of our printing. So check them out. And then we're wearing our red Lifting DFW shirts today. So our mobile lifting station, reach out to us if you're wanting to get any
Olympic lifting
in. And
Olympic lifting lessons, any fitness programs, anything you need, we can take care of it at Lifting DFW. And we're also selling the mobile lifting station as well. Contact me if you have questions about purchasing that. And to remind everybody too about our YouTube channel, just Google search Talking Throws podcast, and just be sure to subscribe to it, because we're trying to get some good information out there.
Yep. And like always, if you know anyone who's a thrower in the state of Texas, high school, college, somebody that had some big marks, throwing was a big impact on them, they have a great story, share that with us, because we are always looking for people. They can be fresh out of high school, right in college, or have thrown 30 years ago. Okay, so just throw some names at us. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.